1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now think about that right there. You realize you could believe in vain. You could believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and have it be in vain. That means without effect. No real benefit for you. To imagine to have faith, it was in vain. You know, I believed in God, but it was all in vain. And so what causes this? You know, what would cause one to believe in vain? Or one's faith to be in vain? If you don't keep in memory what the apostle preached. Now, I've been teaching what the apostle preached through all his epistles. And I tell you, a lot of things he warned people, he said, remember this. People don't remember it. They don't keep it in memory. The things which the gospel teaches us. Because the gospel is the means of salvation. And it isn't just Jesus died for our sins. It is the power of God to actually being saved. And what is saved? He came to save us from our sins. Which means ultimately, if we don't experience some sort of real deliverance from sin, then in my book, that means you've believed in vain. Because you haven't received that which you believed in. To some people, salvation is just going to heaven. I don't even believe in going to heaven. Heaven is going to come to earth, in my, well, ultimately. But even now, the idea is that God would come to me and cause my life to improve right now. Not in the sense of, material gain, but that in the things of the Spirit, in righteousness and godliness, that I would be profiting in godliness. That is what, causes faith to be effective. What causes faith to be effective? It would affect you for the things that faith is supposed to deliver. Faith is supposed to deliver something. The promise is believed. Look what Jesus says, if you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins. So conversely, if I believe that He is, then I ought not to die in my sins, because dying in your sins is not good. I want to die in righteousness. I want to die in holiness. I want to die according to I want to conform my death to the image of His death. Meaning, I want to die a righteous death. Not if I die the death of a criminal, let it be because of righteousness, not because I was a criminal. I think that's pretty well clear. So he's going to declare the gospel. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. This is the first part. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some are fallen asleep. It's interesting that he uses the terminology fallen asleep for, he means dead people. He doesn't mean like they're sleeping. He means they're dead. Like Jesus said of Lazarus, he sleeps. And then they said, well, if he sleeps, that's good. He's probably going to get better. And then he said plainly, no, he's dead. So he relates how Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. As Peter said, his soul was not left in hell. To me that's important, because this chapter is a lot about hell, and about the resurrection. Because contrary to what they teach, we all go to hell. just like Jesus went to hell. Jesus didn't go to hell, he didn't go to the place of fire. He went into the ground. And that is the Old Testament definition of hell. I really hate that word, because in English, hell is a place of mythology. It's a place of dreams, of fantasies. It's the stuff that Hollywood is made of. It's Dante's Inferno. It is all these things that I don't find in the scripture describe. There are several words translated hell in from the original languages into English, and the one that happens after you die is the hell of the grave. No one is in any sort of burning state at this present time. Nor will anyone remain in any such burning state for all eternity. Though the fire be eternal, and though, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, there are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sodom and Gomorrah, the fires went out a long time ago. The idea of eternal fire, of undying worms, it means complete destruction, complete decomposition. Okay, let's continue on. So he died for our sins, according to the scriptures. There's scriptures in the Old Testament. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. He was seen of Cephas and of the 12. After that, he was seen of all these people. It gives us a list of all these people who saw him. That's the evidence. There were all these people that saw it. So after that, he was seen of James and all the apostles, etc. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Verse 8. Verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed on me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. That is the beginning of the gospel. Jesus died and rose again. And the grace of God. But encompassed in this is the idea of, he talks about his apostleship and how he persecuted the church of God. So everything the Church of God is like, there's the Catholic Church and the Baptist Church and all these different churches, right? The Presbyterians and the Latter-day Saints and the Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean,